December 11, 2023. It's a Wild for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Rock from Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Start off with John Coltrane doing My Favorite Things. Well, an excerpt. Live at Birdland, March 2, 1963 with the quartet. And we had Goodbye Electric Sunday. Bruce Lamont, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me. All the way from Chi-Town. Bruce Lamont, welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolute. Right away. Give credit to Arvo for the connect. Thank you, brother Arvo.
Thank you, Arvo.
Okay. I want to learn about your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Ooh, I love that question. I've been waiting my whole life to answer that one. I'm closing in on 52 years on this planet, so let's go back to say, when you're a child, time is, it fluctuates a little differently than it does when you're a little older, so I'm not quite sure on the exact year. It was definitely the 70s, and I was definitely in my parents' 1970 Ford LTD, and we had an AM radio, and there's a station here in Chicago called WLS. Actually, it still exists. Now it's like talk radio stuff, but that back then was a rock and roll station, AM 89, a little later, FM 95. And I recall at between the age of 4 and 7, hearing all kinds of rock and roll, and I had no idea who the bands were. But years later, when I started to pick up some albums and cassettes and whatnot, I got some Zeppelin and, I was like, I know that song. Somehow, a McCartney Wings album landed in my lap and heard, some stuff off, maybe it was Band on the Run or something. I was like, I know that song. That kind of stuff,
And you were getting educated without knowing it.
Exactly. Thank you, AM rock and roll radio of the 70s, And it's funny because a lot of that stuff is now like the classic rock format, but that was more of the rock and roll format of that time, I guess, from a child's perspective. And, but yeah, I was hooked early on, and then, just kind of goes from there,
Well, let me ask you this. Was the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, there was not, actually.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
For sure. I joined the string orchestra when I was in third grade because you couldn't join the concert band until you were in fourth grade. So I played viola for a year. And then when I was old enough to get into concert band, I played the instrument that I already had my sights set on. It was a little thing called the saxophone. And I had this lovely band instructor named Monica Slayman. I'll never forget her for the rest of my life. And she took me in this room, and she's like, oh, you want to play saxophone? That's great. Here. I was a littler guy, so she hands me an alto. She goes, why don't you try the alto? And I couldn't produce the tone. So she's like, well, okay, no despair. Let's try the tenor. And ta-da, I was able to produce the tone, and I started on the tenor, and I've been playing the tenor for the past on and off for the past 42 years, along with the soprano, along with the alto at this point, and the baritone as well, too. But, yeah, that's where it got going as far as playing was concerned. I was the first in the immediate family to play an instrument. My grandmother played piano by ear.
No, but there was no piano in the pad?
Nah.
Okay, so you didn't have to go through the ordeal of the piano lessons.
No.
Okay. Now, I've had cats on the show that have almost quit music because of that ordeal.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because, I wanted to play guitar when I was, 6 or 7, and my mom tried to take me to a store. This is long before, kids were encouraged to start playing stuff and instruments were made a little smaller for their hands. Some guy was like, oh, his hands are too small. Buy him a piano. And she's like, he doesn't want to play piano. My face went white. I'm, 6 or 7. My mom looks at me and goes, he doesn't want to play fucking piano, Typical South. That's a very South Side mom response,
White Sox.
Forever, maybe.
Let me ask you about in viola, not violin. Talk about small hands. You went for the bigger one. Did you ever connect with the sax before that professor laid it on you?
Not really, honestly. Besides, we're going through the 70s and the early 80s of rock, rock music. And the only person I can recall that I had any interest in was Clarence Clemons. I didn't really know any players until I was in my late teens, early 20s when I started to discover, jazz and improvisational music. So,
did you ever see that movie Blackboard Jungle? Because they got Bill Haley and there's a big old sax solo in that baby.
Yep, yep, hell yeah. Uh-huh, for sure.
I mean, not too much improv. It's pretty much the melody line, but it's honking. And if you want my opinion I think fuzz guitar is trying to emulate a sax, that growl in a sax.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, cool.
Okay, let me ask you this, Bruce. First record you bought with your own money?
First record I bought with my own money? Kiss Kiss.
First album?
Yep.
And eponymous, that's the word. I was trying to figure that word out last.
Yes.
It's when the name of the band is the same as the name of the record.
Right. Right. Self-titled. Yeah.
Right. No, self-titled, right. But for us, Greek, Latin guys, eponymous.
Right.
Hippopotamus. Let me ask you this. What was the first gig you saw?
The first show I ever saw was the Alabama Roll-On Tour at the Milwaukee State Fair with the Oak Ridge Boys opening up. A day later, I caught maybe a song or two, same State Fair, Tina Turner, Private Dancer Tour. Not enough of that show. I wish I would have seen the whole thing, but I was also pretty young.
Okay, what about, not after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
Tried. When I was a kid, I had a couple friends, that's when I did start playing some guitar, and I had a buddy who played drums and another one who played guitar, and we tried to do the garage band thing, and it never really took off, and the three of us, actually it's funny because those are my two oldest friends that I'm still friends with to this day. We couldn't get a band off the ground, but I did a little later, around 18 is when I started playing out.
But without them. So your first gigs in front of people then was probably for the school?
I did a Battle of the Bands competition for the town that I grew up in outside Chicago. And then, there was a Battle of the Bands at my high school after I graduated, which was real sweet because I could pretty much get away with anything and they couldn't do a damn thing to me.
And how'd that gig go? What was it like? Did you win?
We did win, actually, and that was not what we wanted to do. All I remember is my friend was going to sit in on guitar. We played our very first song, and he wanted to do something that was a very Sonic Youth style. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. He basically ripped all the strings off of his guitar first song and just threw it down, bled all over the stage, and ran off. And that was the beginning of our show. I was fuck yeah, this is going to be great. And then I think I stage dove into the 19 kids that were there all kind of came up close to the stage, and I jumped into them and,
with the sax.
No sax yet. No, this was just vocals.
Oh,
no,
you were lead singer, man. You're front man.
I do both. I do. I still do. I still sing. And I sing. I play the sax. I play a little guitar.
The human voice probably was our first instrument.
Indeed. Yeah. You are correct. Yeah, I agree with you.
You gave me this stuff here. Circle of Animals. I want to play that. Tell me about it later.
Thank you. took the factory that burned. This was a stream. It shouldn't be a lake. The flood came down the hill past the Catholic Church. Creosote ties, mossy and decayed, rot on either side of a berm that rises above the swamp and cuts through exposed rock. The bridge is too low. Water rises past it. Different tones superimposed on a wedge of pure sound. Buried percussion. Choral backwards whispers. A forgotten sound like summer camp violins. I drop off to sleep for exactly 4 hours. Then wake up. Spring is disturbed. The continuity of life is disturbed. I float in the peak of the roof. Different segments of the city.
Yeah, man. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
from Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Circle of Animals doing Poison the Lamb. Then we had Sky Furrows with Summit Cutting Mill. Brand new from Passarella, a tune called Festido. Not after that with This Feels So Wrong. I think their first vinyl got reissued. Feed Tube Records. African Head Charge with a Bad Attitude. Here's a collab between Model Home and Wolf Eyes, Invisible Thread version. Both great bands. And then finally, yep. Yakuza, Burn Before Reading. Brother Bruce, enlighten me to fucking Circle of Animals.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I believe, I was thinking about how you and I have never crossed paths before this, but we have come a degree or two away from crossing paths. And one of them happens to be the partner in Circle of Animals. He is my BFF and the engineer of almost all of the recordings I've done. And he also is the other half of Circle of Animals, and his name is Stanford Parker. We started this project in 2007, kind of a little homage to the Chicago Wax Trax industrial scene. I'll get into how you guys crossed paths, and I will tell that story as well, too. And basically, Stanford's idea was we recorded a bunch of live drums, and then he just kind of manipulated them and made them into beats that would work for us, and then we just kind of built songs around that, and that is Circle of Animals. About that simple. Brought a couple of guest musicians in to help us out a little bit. Our friend Dallas Thomas, who played in Pelican for a little while and played in a band called Ass Chapel, out of Nashville, and great guitar player. He helped us out. But to the story where the paths were crossed, I think it was around 2008, you were at Electrical Audio recording with a band called The Stooges. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did you have a schedule where you would end around 5 p.m. most of the time?
Yeah.
So I think, I was told that you wandered into, like, the B room over there at Electrical, and there's a band called Wake from Little Rock, Arkansas. It was starting with an R, R-W-A-K-E. And the engineer was my partner, Sanford Parker. And you would pop in there and hang out.
You know what? I remember. I remember that. I think it was in 2007.
Yep.
Hold on a second here.
And you wandered in. At first, he didn't know who you were. He's like, who's this guy? And they're like, oh, hey, my name's Mike Watt. And I was like, oh, shit, have a seat. So that's badass. So anyway, I've kept that in the back of my head all these years.
And it was a tribute to the Wax Trax. So like which is kind of like a dance kind of thing, right?
Yeah, kind of, industrial stuff.
Yeah.
We did a little heavier take on it all, but, the My Life or the Thrill Kill Cult, Ministry, there's a band called Pigface that's still around.
Oh, yeah, I remember those cats. It was this nucleus they would do. Okay, so you guys are inspired by them, and you don't want to rip them off. You want to do your version of it, right? And
that's what
Circus Manimal.
Of course. And actually, that record came out in 2010, and we just decided this year that we're going to regroup and work on a new record.
Wow. Who else is in the band?
So, like I said, Sanford Parker, the engineer that you met.
Right.
And it's just him and I.
Oh, it's just a twofer. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So you guys just pile up tracks.
He does all the electronics.
Have you done gigs?
Nope. Never
played live. Okay, so it's just a recording concern. But when you get it going, do you think guys are going to try to play it live?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. That's kind of contemporary. Let's go back in your journey, though. So you get out of school. What do you do after school? Do you want to take your music to higher education?
So I get out of high school. I didn't really want to go to college. I was still with my parents for a little bit, and I took a couple jobs. My mom also kind of forced me to at least go to community college if I wanted to live under their roof for a bit, and I didn't have the money to not live under their roof. But I started playing in a band that same year, and I was 18, and, that band had a shelf life of maybe year and a half, and then I wanted to do more than just, a Battle of the Bands gig at my high school or whatever. I wanted to get down and dirty and play in the clubs and all that kind of shit,
So
I ended up joining another band in the early 90s, and we did that, played all over Chicago, and got to play the Metro, and
on Clark Street by the Cubs, where the Cubs play. Let me ask you this. Like, you're joining these bands, right? These aren't your bands, so it's their material?
Yeah, but I was the vocalist on a lot of this stuff. This is
okay.
Real serious about the sax again.
So what's it like to sing for a band that's not your band?
Well, I mean, they included me as well, so I would consider my band as
well. Well, I'm thinking of maybe Iron Maiden's like that, right? Where it's actually the bass player, right? No,
right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like Steve Harris kind
of. Right, Steve Harris. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, like they had a singer, and then they bring in this other cat, and actually they get bigger than they ever did with him, right?
Yeah, they do actually. Yes, indeed. Something like that. Kind of. There was a couple guys in the band that were like the main melody writers, but I got to I got free reign to write my own lyrics and vocal parts.
Oh, great.
You know, that was okay. So yeah, I've really been in a situation where it's like I'm full on doing something for somebody else. You know, I'm a co-writer in some way, shape, or form. So
okay. You know. And what were these guys called?
The first band was called My Crisis, and the second band was called the Dyslexic Apaches.
That's a good name.
Whack. It was the whack.
What happened with this? Because you didn't give me any Dyslexic Apaches.
We only did a couple of local CDs, and the band kind of dissolved in the later '90s, and that's kind of when I wanted to get a little more serious, even more serious about playing music and playing music for life.
And what about what about the idea of your own band?
Well, that's kind of where it went.
Okay, I was only guessing. I wasn't there, but yeah, okay.
Oh yeah, no, it's all good. So through the '90s, a lot of things changed for me musically. I worked at this awesome independent record store called Red Tower Records. It was out in the suburbs of Chicago, but
no, I've heard of it.
It was not Tower, but Red Tower.
Red Tower, absolutely.
Yeah. So I was there from '89 to '93, which was a real sweet time to be getting a whole stack of promos from all sorts of labels, independent, major label stuff, whatever. So much good stuff all happening at the same time.
Yep.
And during that time is when I really fell in love with jazz and improvisational music, which was pretty much a hard right for me. From what I was listening to, I was still into a lot of rock and roll shit. And when I say rock and roll shit, I mean everything from punk to, we'll go SST all the way to Metal Blade Records kind of stuff. I was listening to all kinds of shit. But Coltrane, Miles Davis, Ornette Coleman, Mingus, Rosson Roland Kirk, Eric Dolphy.
Art Ensemble of Chicago.
Fucking A, no shit. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Albert Eiler. I mean, it got... The more I got into it, the freer it got. I got into more of that kind of stuff.
And a lot of people don't know Sun Ra spent a lot of time in Chicago after he left Alabama.
Indeed, he did. Yeah, I love Sun Ra. I mean, that's such a massive catalog,
Right.
Marshall Allen, the alto sax player for
Sun Ra. Still going at 99 years old.
99 fucking years old. How inspirational is that?
Much respect. Much respect. But, Sun Ra, he was, working strip clubs on the south side there. Fletcher Henderson, he learned a lot of stuff from him.
Yeah. I was a big
who did arrangements for Benny Goodman. People don't realize that Benny Goodman actually was a Chicago cat. There's big jazz history there. So what do you do? Do you start putting together your own freeform groups?
I did a couple little things, nothing of that's noteworthy or I can drop a name on you or anything like that. But yeah, I was trying different things. I was really into playing the horn. I was going to a lot of shows. The '90s in Chicago were fucking awesome because there was this bubbling underground jazz scene.
Yeah.
Saxophone player Ken Vandermark kind of was driving the ship and bringing in all these European players. That's where I first saw Peter Brosman. And Misha Mengelberg and Hans Bank, who both played with Dolphy at one point, and it was fucking awesome, man. And it was a real education for me, from '95 to 2000, I just couldn't get enough, And finally, it was the late '90s. I started hearing some more metalish kind of bands that were interesting to me because I liked metal in the late '80s, and I got real bored because it just was all. It all was kind of very, I don't want to say the same, But there wasn't a lot of variance, you know, between the bands, you know. It wasn't really exciting me as much, but I heard a couple of these bands, and I just was like, man, I think I want to get back into doing some, like, heavier shit. Maybe I'll sing on that stuff. And then, so I hooked up with the Yakuza guys.
Yeah, because we played some Yakuza. Okay, so Yakuza was a Chicago band?
Yeah, they still are. We've been a band for almost 25 years.
Oh, wow. And, okay.
And I was the last guy to join, and while I was at one of the first sessions with them, they asked me if I played any other instruments besides. I told them I played bass guitar and stuff, and I sang. I was like, yeah, and I played saxophone, and all three of them were like, where is it? And I was like, I don't know if you guys were on the track. And they're like, go get it. So I brought it down, and I actually tried the alto first. I don't know why I thought that might work better, and it didn't work well. But I brought the tenor down the second time, and it worked pretty good. And I just, within 6 or 8 months, I, like, weaved it into our sound, and that became a thing. We were like this heavier band. I'm going to call some metal.
Well, you know, Hot Twin had the sax going with heavy rock.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. Nick Turner, right? Fucking kicking like Kato. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Bruce. We're going to have to continue because, man, out of time for this hour, but we got two more. December 11th, 2023 edition, Wap Pedro's special guest, Bruce Lamar. Hold tight for hour two. December 11th, 2023, it's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
And if I stay to you, tomorrow.
It's a rainy night in Ecuador. Uneven time is noon. A small drone has its eye on you. Rain drips from the ceiling. It's almost outer space. Down here at the equator. It's not as nice as I thought it might be. It's too cold for 10 years. I thought about your face today and your slightly hairy lip. I almost felt alive again, but it was just a blip. I remember you at an ice cream parlor with cigarettes and communist theories. I remember you without your underpants, but the thought just makes me weary. Mentioned me, but he said he couldn't say. We shared a couple of drinks, and we spoke of ancient totems. I told him if he saw you again, to please recite this poem. Rainy night. Storm stirring, lightning flashing, thunder rolling, hail pounding, rain pouring, rivers rising, people swimming, horses drowning, animals freezing, farmers killing, people starving, death everywhere. It's a rainy night in Ecuador.
Thank you.
Rock for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Led Zeppelin 2. And the tune, something live. What is and should never be? Bombas Brendan after that. Rainy Night in Ecuador. Bob Lord with the Celestial Phenomena over Nuremberg, 1561. Get it right. What? And then Post-Homel Huber's Jazz, excerpt number 10. Side 10 excerpt. It's from Graham and Randolph and Eugene. Graham in England. Finally, Brain Tentacles. Fruitcake. Okay. So you got to hit me. What's this Led Zeppelin 2?
That's my day job. I've been dressing up as Robert Plant for the past, well, almost 20 years. But
wow.
It's been a touring thing I've been doing since 2009. And I'm heavily tattooed, so I use a lot of stage makeup, and I wear a blouse and some bell bottoms and a blonde wig and a bunch of jewelry and dance around stage playing Zeppelin.
Whoa.
And,
okay.
It's, you know, when I first started to do it, I never wanted to get into the, quote, tribute band world, but no one was, I don't know. I saw a couple bands I thought did it really well. You know, there's this band called Dark Star Orchestra. I used to do, like, the Grateful Dead, and they were fucking awesome at it. I was like, holy crap.
There's also some Australian guys who do Pink Floyd, and I think they give Pink Floyd a piece of their gigs.
They're called the Australian Pink Floyd. They're actually really good friends of ours. We've toured with them before. They play, like, dude, they're big enough to where we played with them in Houston this past summer to 5,000 people, and we were the opening band.
Yeah, this is how I know about them. The Stooges was on a festival. They were headlining.
yeah, they're fucking awesome. They're great. And okay. they've been at it since 1988.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, like Gilmore and I think Nick Mason like ended up like willing a bunch of stuff to them. They don't use like they're pretty good about like not messing with any of the like the trademarked Pink Floyd stuff. Like, you know, they use like a pink kangaroo on stage as a blow up as opposed to a pink pig. You know, they really play up the Australian part, okay. You know, that's their little speak, but they fucking crush it, man. Holy crap. They play some really good shit. I mean, when I saw them do, when they play One of These Days from metal, I fucking like, sure. I was in the crowd. I was like, holy shit. Never thought I would hear that song live, you know? So
I remember seeing Pink Floyd do that song in the 70s. And you know what's so trippy? It's two basses. Because Roger Waters didn't really play that well. David Gilmour is pretty on the money. But both of them together, you get that. I thought it was an effect. It's actually two basses.
No shit. I didn't
do that. Yeah, they use the same part for Sheep. Or at first, they had the early title, Raven and Droolin. So, okay. So, you're doing kind of like, you know, I read somewhere where Robert Plant said he got that high voice thing from Steve Marriott, Small Faces, Humble Pie.
Oh, okay. That's
because
cool.
The PAs weren't that good in those days, and you had to cut through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's had a trip.
You know, Plant's voice seemed to have changed around late 1972, early 73.
Well, I read somewhere he had to get surgery for nodules.
Yeah, that makes sense. I bet. I mean, with the PAs being shitty and not probably not having a proper monitoring system, he just blew his voice out, you know, which is too bad.
I think it happened to Chris Cornell, too.
Yeah, I agree. I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, I think you're
singing
right.
Singing high every night, I think, just beats the fuck out of the vocal cord.
Yeah. At least, like, you know, with me,
well,
I wear
in-ears. Well, how do you handle it?
I was going to say, I wear in-ears, I use wedges, and maybe I'm not a massive drinker, but I might sip a little whiskey before the show just to, you know, get the pipes going. That's what Frank Sinatra did for a long time, so I figured, well, Frank did it, and he got through all this shit.
Not as high a singer, but his voice lasted.
Right. You're right. Exactly.
But he did last. You know, Miles Davis said he got a lot of phrasing from the way Frank sang.
Really? That's cool.
Look, here's another music you gave me, a project called Masonic Waves. Let's listen.
Yep.
We'll be right back. kinda look at you like I got a right. Can't go home or lose, I guess I'll play all night. I'm placing bets, I'm looking for sevens all the way. Dealer tells me you can win if you play. Will I wager my conscience? Breaking every rule. Ain't no game like this, dirty fool.
Rock from Pedro show, that chunk of music started off with Masonic Wave doing Mountains of Labor. Then it was Atavin with Truss. Don Pardo after that with D period I period E period. F period O period D period with Turn Off the News. Then Louis Ray Camarada with Dirty Pool. He was in this late 70s band here called the Zippers. And then Yakuza again with Capricorn Rising. So Bruce, hip us to Masonic Wave.
Masonic Wave is a Chicago-based band that started a couple years ago. We're all friends. We actually happen to all be bartenders as well, too, around town as our side gigs, but we've all been playing music for a long time. It's funny because I'm not a big banter guy on stage, no matter what band it is. Led Zeppelin 2, I have to do it. You know, it's an acting gig, so. But all the other bands. And I only say one thing about Masonic Wave. I say, hello, we're Masonic Wave, and collectively we're 242 years old. And then we start, and that's the end of it. There's four guys over 50. We got one, you know, the drummer's a little younger, you know. Gotta keep that energy up, so he's still in his late 30s. But nonetheless, everyone's been in bands in Chicago for over 30 years, you know, doing this stuff. And it's just fun. And it's just us hanging out. And our first album ever is coming out, like, in a month or two, and that was one of the. I figured I'd drop one of the songs on you.
But this is a more recent kind of project, right?
Yeah. You know,
okay.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, and Mountains of Labor. So, when it comes to having proj, you like them defined, right? They got their own place, and this is one that's kind of more about buddies.
Yeah, I mean, it can have its place, sure. I mean, there's a few of those projects I sent to you. The band Bloodies is kind of the same thing. And then other ones are just musicians that kind of wanted to play together and do something, you know, interesting. That band Sick Gazelle I sent you, which you might recognize one of the band members' names. It started with me and a guitar player, Eric Block, and then Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth.
Of course. Old friend of mine.
Yeah, I know you guys know each other.
Midland, Michigan, and, originally. The new guy, right?
Yes.
He was the new guy for 25 years.
Right, no shit, exactly.
Crucifix, when he started. He
was I was about to say, the Crucifix. I only hear that name in my head. To be honest. The Crucifix.
You know, nowadays, he's been doing drums for Bush Tetris.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I know. He's been trying to. I was trying to help him. Like, they were trying to get some Midwest shows, and I work for a club called The Empty Bottle.
Oh, great band. I love Empty Bottle.
Thanks. Yeah, we love it, too.
Yeah, I got to play there about a year and a half. You know, I heard about it for years and finally got to play there about a year and a half ago.
Fuck yeah, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it because I would have loved to see it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. Everybody there was bitching. Cool. Very cool people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, great staff.
So Masonic Wave, do they just jam or do you guys do gigs?
We do gigs. Yeah, we play out and stuff. You know, I mean, we're not touring or anything like that. So it's more of just like, you know, we fit them in when we can. But, you know, we're putting an album out, you know.
You know, you didn't tell me about Brain Tentacles.
Oh, I could.
Please, Brain.
Of course. Brain Tentacles is, well, it's a trio on the record and the song that I sent you, but it started as a duo. It's just me and the drummer, and the drummer's name is Dave Witte, who is one of my BFFs. He's one of the best drummers in the whole wide world. He played in a band called Human Remains, a band called Discordant Axis. He was a drummer for Melt Banana for a number of years.
Whoa.
He plays in a thrash metal band called Municipal Waste. He was in a band called Burnt by the Sun. We became friends 25 years ago, just touring together and shit like that. Not even that, but yeah, 25 years ago. He's just real versatile and open-minded, and we wanted to do something real weird. And I had come up with this new kind of sound I wanted to explore, the sound that you probably heard on the Fruitcake song.
Yeah, how does it, it begins with this weird kind of chant.
Well, that's just a friend of ours being a ding-dong. a fruitcake. And then, but I run the sax through some like a chorus effect, a reverb effect, and then another harmonizer. And I mostly play baritone in that band, but the song I sent you actually is tenor. And the baritone through all that shit is just real wicked and nasty sounding.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, that's, that sound is specifically, you know, designed for that particular band.
So. Whoa. And then this Yakuza tune, Capricorn Rising, is that more recent?
Yep, that came out this year.
Oh, came out this year, okay. And you were saying that you guys are going to be playing more. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, hell, what came... A lot of information. We're out right up to the second hour. December 11th. I know. Fuck it, just flying by. 2023 edition Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Bruce Lamont. Sorry, Bruce. Hold tight, fire. Good. 3. December 11th, 2023. It's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show start off the third hour. Yet another Bruce Lamont Prodge. Corrections House. Nice, comforting title. And White Man's Gonna Lose. Then we had the Michael Christoph, Jerome Galgren, Fabian Rope trio with Choose a Good Wine. The 1164s with Laugh of Shame. Tell all this stuff's related, right? Helco with Just Stop Singing Like That. And finally, you mentioned these cats. Bloodiest, Dead Inside. Bloodiest. You were saying something about them.
Yeah, we same thing. It was a bunch of, you know, Chicago musicians. We're all friends, and you know, we have similar tastes, and we kind of came together. That band started as a duo, the two guitar players, Eric Chaliff and Tony Lazara, and then it just expanded. They added some piano, drums. Our friend Casey Key was in a band called 90 Day Men for a long time. Great drummer. And then, yeah, just kind of filled out from there, and I became the vocalist, and we just roll with it. And,
now, you know, were these guys bartenders?
Not really, no.
Because that's kind of the connected Masonic wave, right? I mean, yeah, there are, what would you tell me, Bruce, what makes these projects different? It's actually the people, right?
Of course, yeah. Okay.
You know, people ask me about the old days. I say, hey, it's the people. I think the new days is about the people, too. It's always going to be about people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's why I get upset with this idea of genre and shit. Because this is, it's expression from people. That's what music is.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you.
So does Bloodiest do gigs?
We have not performed since about 2019.
Okay.
But never say never. I don't believe in breaking bands up. Because maybe one day we'll all get the itch and be like, hey, you want to play a show?
That's right.
Why the hell not? You know, why make a big, you know, there's no need to, you know, make some dramatic thing like we are now ending this project because blah, 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 blah. Who fucking cares? You know what I mean?
If we're all still
here to do it, let's just do it, you know?
Right, absolute. I dig that. And now hit me to Corrections House.
Corrections House was actually the result of, we were actually, Sanford Parker from Circle of Animals and I were working on a second record back in the 2010s.
Yeah.
I happened to do a noise show with Mike Nine Williams from I Hate God, and I also, and at the same time, ended up doing a couple of solo shows with Scott Kelly from the band Neurosis, and I started to talk to both of them about starting. We're gonna book a tour as like three solo artists, Mike, myself, and Scott.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hey, maybe we should do like a collaborative thing. And I mentioned this to Sanford Parker because he's an engineer, and he hung up the phone and called me back 5 minutes later and goes, I got a better idea. How about I just join the band? And I go, oh, we're a band now? And we became a band. And we used a lot of the drum ideas that we had from Circle of Animals record number 2 and just kind of moved those over to Corrections House and then add Scott, add Mike, and we did 2 albums. We toured for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years tops, and then that was it. We're not broken up again. Like I said, I don't break up any other project, but we haven't performed a show since 2014, and I don't know when we will again.
There's a connect with Circle of Animals, but Circle of Animals, that is finished?
No, that's not finished.
Oh, that's got finished. That's actually, okay, that's great.
No, we're going to kick that back into high gear.
Okay. Now, here, the final project you gave me here was Sick Gazelle, and you did mention something about one of the guitar cats.
I mentioned the drummer, Steve Shelley.
Oh, that's right, the drummer.
And I did that. You're right. I mean, you were also correct. Eric Block, he's a guitar player.
Oh, that's right, I did. Okay, I'm not all the way wrong.
Nope, you're not all the way wrong. Not even close. And I was going to say, the song I gave you is brand new, unreleased, because we
June.
Just...
June! I mean, is that a Bruce Lamont invention? June?
Yeah, kind of. I had to title it up real quick, because otherwise it was going to be called, like, Track 6.
Oh, okay.
That's so boring. So I just quickly, you know, jumped on the old internet box, and I was like, all right, that looks good. I mean, and I'm like, I sent that up to you. I go, what does that mean exactly? And I went back, and I'm like, oh, what the hell? Anyway, whatever.
People, let's listen to it. It's called Joom. Thank you.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Started that choke off with Sick Gazelle doing Joom. The Owl after that with Reversing the Demise of Morality. It's from Welcome to Gaz Benefit Complex. So is this one, Inyan with Hello. Vacant Possession Feds Post. That's Graham over in England. Time in Propinquity. That's a word. Finally, Bruce Lamont. The bookend. 893. Kind of cryptic. And when you call something Bruce Lamont, is it Man Alone?
Man Alone.
Okay.
Just me.
Okay. You plan on doing more of that? Because, man, I found that, because we started the show off with a tune like that, and I found him really interested.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That was one of the only good things that came out of our lockdown time was I was able to do that stuff.
Ah.
I have all kinds of that stuff just laying around, just waiting to be thrown out into the world.
So you got a recording means at your pad.
I have a little rehearsal space with a couple of the other bands, and I got a little recording set up. And
that's so great. In the old days, there was such a big Grand Canyon between musicians and recording, and now you got cats doing it themselves. I'm really into that.
Yeah.
And where if people want to find you on the internet, is there a place they can go?
I would say, you know, best place, and I'm not on there very often, but it's my Instagram tag is Hesh Lamont, HESHLAMONT. Otherwise, I'm on, same thing, Facebook, Bruce Lamont. And then all the bands that you played, which I appreciate, thank you very much, they're all out there in the streaming world.
Sure.
You can also probably, there's probably a link on all of them where you can go and get a copy of the vinyl for most of these things, you know, that kind of stuff. And yeah.
Right. Now, what concern is ongoing right now, your most immediate one? You got cooking on the stove.
Concern.
Music-wise.
Not really any concerns.
Concern means like ongoing. I was trying to get all like poetic. And
oh
shit.
Yeah,
sorry.
I have a couple of goals for 2024, and that is to get some of the solo material, you know, out there in the world. Brain Tentacles. We're gonna write some more material and get that out there, and just to perform more with Yakuza. We don't perform enough, you know. I'd like to do it more often. So those are the only concerns I have.
You mean like this last tune we played, 893? You got more stuff like that you want coming out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah.
And so and it's going to be under the name Bruce Lamont, your own name. Are you going to get a Bandcamp page or so? How are you going to release that?
It's out there. It's mostly on like the streaming stuff, so it'll be on.
Okay.
There's a Bruce Lamont out there, so. Yeah, I'll be there too.
And I haven't asked you yet about this, but what about touring? Do you do that?
Yeah, I do. Mostly, like I said before, the Led Zeppelin 2 band.
Oh, that band tours.
I tour quite a bit with that. Shorter tours with with Yakuza, Brain Tentacles when we're active for that kind of stuff. Yeah, we don't go crazy. We're not doing, you know, 6 weeks across the United States kind of stuff. We'll just pick some spots and, you know, do the West Coast, do the East Coast.
Regional things, totally.
I just happened to play some one-off festival in Denver last week, you know, and that was fun. That was the one-off gig, but, you know, get out there. I gotta get back to Europe soon because I really miss it.
And what prod do you think you're gonna take over there?
I would assume the solo stuff or Yakuza would be one or the other, so.
Okay. Yeah. And who's recording right now? You said somebody just got done recording, right?
Oh, that was the Sick Gazelle project, yeah.
Steve Shelley.
Yeah, Steve Shelley. And Doug McCombs from Tortoise as well.
Sure, bassman. Yeah, great bassman. Also, 12th Day Dreamer.
Yeah, 11th Dream Day.
11th Day, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah, he's
sorry.
A good bud. He's sorry, a good Doug. Bud.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. I'm sorry, just laughing at these little things. great human being, awesome bass player. I love him to death.
I think he's the only Tortoise guy left in Chicago.
I think you're right, actually. Now that I think about it, yep, there's a couple
Everybody's
of
them. Everybody's bailed, right?
Yeah,
well, look.
No, Dan Bittany's still here, too.
That's right.
Dan and Doug, so yeah.
Dan and Doug are left. Last man standing. Look, When this Sick Gazelle album comes out, can you come back on the show? I would love to have you and Steve on, and we could wrap
up. Fuck
yeah,
man.
Okay.
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay. Awesome. So let me know when it comes out, and we'll put you up on another come on board and spiel about it. I would love it. Love it.
Dude, you're awesome. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you too, Bruce. Very inspired. You make me want to start playing my bass right now. Thank you so much.
Good. Hell yeah, dude.
That's the greatest gift a music cat can do for another, ain't it? People, it's been the December 11th, 2023 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your power dry.